I was noticing all coming here today, all the signposts, you know, that are out coming to Rockland, you know, 25 kilometers to Rockland. You know, wherever you travel, there's always these posts that are, or there's always the one big sign, you're now entering, whatever place you're entering. Now, John the Baptist was the last of the prophets, pointing to the coming of the Messiah. He is a human signpost. In today's gospel, John is in prison, so he cannot see things for himself. He can only hear. So he sends his disciples, and he asks Jesus, "Are you the one?" And Jesus' answer is simple. "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The lame, the blind, the leper, the deaf, dead, the poor." Now, if you think back to Isaiah in the first reading, he also mentions those too. The blind, the deaf. Okay. John probably had some expectations about the coming of God. Like many prophets, he probably thought there was going to be God's wrath or shown some sign of his strength or some sign of his presence. We have our own expectations, how we will manifest, how God will manifest himself in our lives. But like John, we need to be freed from our expectations. In other words, we have to humble ourselves and allow God to be first. Now, in modern society, everybody wants proof. Seeing is believing, right? And even then, not too many do. They don't always believe. There are many atheists who have decided not to believe. So what do we rely on when we make a decision? Basically, it's what we've seen, what we read, what we basically believe. Now, in Isaiah, what did the Jews in exile experience? They were experiencing harshness, you know, God's anger, abandonment. They were away from home. The pain of exile or imprisonment. Not much hope. So what was Isaiah's vision of salvation? The visible reversal of pain or defect. I was reading an article from this think tank magazine, which was a series of letters between two friends. One was an atheist, and the other was a Christian. And in this case, he was a Catholic. And they were debating the existence of God between them, back and forth. And the Christian pointed out that the atheist justified his point of view by relying on history, that there was no God because of all the evil that was in the world. But that the atheist denied the use of the same history when he came to support the existence of God. And if we really look at it, most atheists cite some sort of scientific or rational approach to deny the existence of God. But I found it interesting that a 17th century French mathematician and scientist named Blaise Pascal, and he stated, "If a single man had written a book foretelling the time and manner of Jesus' coming, and Jesus had come in conformity with these prophecies, this would carry infinite weight. But there is more. There's much more here. There is a succession of men over a period of 4,000 years coming consistently and invariably, one after another, to foretell the same coming. We have been told about the coming of the Messiah. We have had many signposts, many prophets. John the Baptist, the last prophet, our last signpost, he is basically saying, you're now entering the time of Christ. Jesus asks the crowd, what did you come to see? They thought John the Baptist might be the Messiah. But the answer was actually standing right in front of them. Jesus himself. Jesus, the Messiah, fulfilled what was foretold. Now, getting back to the magazine article, the Christian was also responding to the atheist's charge that maybe God is malevolent or mean. And the Christian's reply was basically, from the perspective of philosophy, that is to say reason, it may be argued that no one can create without love. Because basically, creativity involves an outpouring of self, which is precisely what love is. This means that, from a strictly rational point of view, there is every reason to think that the God who created man and his world is a loving God. What we celebrate at Christmas is that God comes looking for us. Not an idealized concept, but a reality. The reality of being found by God and to see him in this world. In the grace when we love our enemy, when we forgive one another, when we care for the poor, when we see the image of God in our sisters and brothers. So when we are asked, like the psalmist, where is your God? Just say, come and see.